Shout, shout, let it all out. These are the things I can do without. Come on, I'm talking to you. Come on. All right, enough of that. What's up, 65 Lokes? Welcome back to another episode of Scale Riders Podcast, episode 95. This episode is going to be a solo episode with just me, myself, talking to you guys. How you guys been? I hope you guys been well. I've been doing well, just staying busy, you know, dabbling in things little by little. And at the same time, seeing some friends along the way, attending some events that I want to get into as well later on the episode. So I just want to let you guys, the reason why I'm doing a solo episode, I didn't book anybody for this week. This week was going to just be busy for me, and I wanted to do something different. I mean, it's been a minute since I've not done a solo, complete solo episode by myself. You know, all the previous ones have been bonus ones. But for this one, there was some things that I had, some tasks that I had, you know, I needed to do. I needed to scratch off that list in order to move forward to the next objective. So, you know, as of late, I've been rotating my projects. I've been working on the 62 Bel Air for Dedicated Magazine, Radical Build Off. I've also been working on a 48 Chevy panel, Paradise Road truck, and as well as a Gundam figure, and, you know, just other things, like, you know, with work and just prepping stuff. So I was like, all right, it's kind of hard to be like trying to work on three things at the same time on the same night. You know, time is limited, so I need to prioritize. I need to figure out, all right, what's more important, what's at hand, what has a deadline, you know, and at the same time, what's fun. So I was like, all right, for sure, I need to wrap this up with the body work with the 62 Bel Air. And quite honestly, I've been lagging on it. I was going in, working on it, you know, the first month, but then I had to put that body away and restart again all over with the whole new Bel Air. Pretty much copying the same idea from the first one, because I learned what I had done wrong. And with the second one, I did the cuts a lot cleaner. The molding was a lot cleaner. So there was the first one was very rough, especially swapping roofs from different cars. And, you know, I'm using a 62 Bel Air, and I wanted to get a hardtop roof. So I grabbed it from a 62 Catalina, and both AMT kits, I did the swap, they fit, and as well as the undercarriage fits, you know, a lot of stuff fits, which is pretty cool. And it kind of, you know, you kind of get the hint, because it's the year 62 on both cars. They have a lot of similarities. So, you know, I had people, when they look at the car, they go, oh, that's a 62 Impala, because they're looking at that hardtop. You know, but as soon as they look at the rear lights, they notice, you know, it's not, it has two. And there's been other minor modifications as well. But as I go further on with this project, it's going to keep changing and changing, you know. But I'd say I'm almost done with the body modifications. Doors have been cut open, the trunk, the roof. Oh, sorry, not the roof, the hood. And the next phase on that was to hinge. So I haven't hinged anything in a while. Like, it's been a minute since the Hudson Hornet. And that Hudson Hornet, you know, I got that ready for NNL West. So we can just say that was probably done up around somewhere. Hinged maybe, or I'm guessing December, maybe January, you know, somewhere around there. So that's been a long time, you know, up to now. Now that we're in October, I have not hinged a car in a minute. So, you know, I was like looking through my tools, as well as my wiring, my tubing, just trying to find the smallest piece. And I did find my rods, I did find the tubings, but then it's like, I was missing the packaging, so I wasn't even sure what size I was working with, but I was just eyeballing it, going like, all right, out of all these ones I have here, this is the smallest one, so I'm rolling with this one right here. Cool. And just, you know, there was still, even though I've done it before, it's not something that I've mastered that I could say I could hinge anything, you know. You're always going to run into things. But the thing is like, the more you do it, you will get better at it. And you will learn how to get out of a situation in case if you glue it wrong or you do the wrong hinge. You know, when you open up both doors, maybe it falls kind of down. Or when they both open at the same time, they're not even. One's up, one's down. You know, there's all these little things that you're running into when you're hinging. Everybody has their methods or ways. Everybody's been taught different. Some people have been self-taught. So I kind of just go on, you know, what I've learned from other people and then also experience. So, you know, there was parts where after I had created my hinge and I had to attach and glue it onto the doors, I was, you know, I taped the doors and everything, and I have the car sitting sideways, and I'm about to do all this gluing, which, you know, is almost similar to like welding, let's say, but it's glue. So once it was placed, I would open the door, and then I would notice like the door would fall down, or it was just kind of off. When the door would close, it wouldn't really line up back, and I was like, man, you know, something's up. So the cool thing about this, the CA glue, is that it bonds, but then you can always get your I wouldn't recommend tweezers, but most likely like your nippers, and just grip the tubing and twist it, and it'll just pop right off clean, like smooth, you know. And from there, it gave me, you know, some tries. So I think by the fourth try, I got it where I was like, yes, things are lining up. It looks a little more even. When I open the door, it's not falling down or anything, you know, everything's cool. So the doors, I was like, yes, it's done. Now let me move on to the trunk and to the hood. So when I did the tubing for that, I did it small, maybe, how can I say it? I would just say, like a half size, let's say an inch, all right? An inch size rod with the tubing. And then when I was hinging it, I was going to go with the suicide way because the doors are suicide. So then what I noticed is that I was just thinking about it. And I was like, man, every thing that I've hinged so far has been suicide, you know? And I was like, I don't want to do that again. I want to try something different. So I said, all right, I'll go sideways. So I did the hinge sideways, but there was still like too much weight on that. For as light as the plastic is still, it was like too heavy for the hinge. And I'm sure the hinge, you know, I didn't either put a little bit of glue in there or I didn't pinch it. So that thing would just kind of go up and then just come straight down, you know, like a tree that got cut. So every time I would open it, boom, boom, it would keep falling. So it was getting annoying. And then I was like thinking about it, and I was like, oh, wait, I'm going to run into problems once I start, you know, installing the engine and all that stuff, the tubing, all that stuff's going to hit, you know? And I was like, nah, because I got to fit that engine, and I don't want to be cutting any the wheel wells or anything like that, you know? So I had to sit there for a minute to kind of like see what I needed to do to get around this wall. So then I decided, you know what? I'm gonna cut this in half. I'm gonna cut the tubing and the rod in half. So this way they're both the hinges are running independently, and I made the cut. So I got my my pliers and I ended up pinching a little bit of the tubing, and I pinched them, and then I glued them. You know, I taped down the hood, glued everything, like starting over from that point. And then finally that pinch that I did on that tubing helped a lot, because now no matter how many times I, you know, open and close or leave it halfway or even all the way up, it holds. You know, it's not going to come crashing down. So I was really stoked about that right there. So it's things like that start to switch up the look of the car, you know, when you display it. It's like you got suicide doors and then you got a sideways hood and trunk that are opening, you know. So from there, that's when like the car starts to speak to you. It starts to tell you like what you need to do next, you know, because that wasn't my original idea. I wasn't going to go with the sideways look, you know. Then I started to think later like, oh, maybe I should do one of the doors or both to open up, you know, like kind of like the Las Vegas car, how the doors just kind of like fold down or something, you know. I don't know. You know, you start thinking, well, it's radical. You know, you got to be a little bit experimental. I've never done that before, but since I'm pressing for time, I was like, nah, I don't think I'm going to do that. I think I'm just going to go with what I know right now. There's still some switch ups I want to do, obviously, with the rear. I want to take out those lights. I want to do a different display since, I mean, most of the bodies, it's already customs. Might as well switch that up. And the same thing with the face, the grill. I want to switch that up as well, you know. So these are all things here that are I'm brainstorming. For sure, interior is going to be custom. Like the center console is going to be custom. What else? So as far as like the chassis, I'm using it from the Catalina, so it separates. And it fits really nice in there. So I'm going to be able to fit pretty much everything underneath. And I'm not going to slam the car. I want it to just... I've taken pictures of it just in its regular stance. And I really love the way that looks. Something about it. I'm like, that's the look I'm going for. But at the same time, my plan is to use Iceman's stands that he put out. You know, and they're available in the market right now. So there's a product he put out, 4 stands for each wheel for the car to have it sitting up and, you know, on the stand. So you could display the bottom of the belly, you know, and that's more work right there. You know, I need to, clean out the belly. I need to shave it up. I need to get that ready right there. So this one, when you see the bottom, you know, I plan to, whatever's going to be on that body, to be part of the belly as well, as far as like the pattern or the colors, you know. I don't want to just have it be black, like a flat black and then a gloss two-tone kind of thing. I just want to just stick to one, you know, like something that's going to definitely match most likely the frame as well. I don't think I'm going to be able to anytime soon like send parts off to get chrome plated. None of that. I don't think so. So most likely I am gonna paint the chassis. I really like the way Carlito's Way, the chassis on that car looked. It's all painted and it just looks so dope. And that's inspiring to me right there. So I'm not saying like that's what I'm aiming for. Like I'm gonna copy that, but it's more like, you know, if that car had it and it looks so dope, it's motivation to me. Like I want to try it, you know. I think that car had pinstriping on it too. That looked pretty crazy on there, you know. But for being that small, with little chassis right there, the space. But at least, as long as I get some color on there, I think that'd be pretty fun, you know. So that's been a project that I've been messing with. And I've been learning a lot on it too. That's the one thing I like about these cars is they definitely teach me something each time, you know. as far as like cutting out the doors and cutting everything out, I did use a BMC chisel, which is made in Japan, and I used a really thin size. I believe it's like a 0.125. I don't even know if it's even a millimeter. It might be under. Yeah, I believe it's like under the millimeter mark. But it's a tool that I picked up at Newtype in Redwood City. And this tool is sold in a lot of various places in Japan. But from what I hear is these tools are a little bit more like seasonal. So when they're made, they're like handmade. They only make a certain batch. And then once they're done, they send these out to all the vendors to sell. And once they sell out, then they're sold out completely. And when people are waiting, I want another one. You have to wait. And sometimes that wait time can be a year. You know, because that size, I've been waiting on that forever. And they finally got it. I copped it, got it. Eventually, you know, there's other sizes I wanted, but they've sold out. And later they, you know, when I hit them up, they're already like, oh, you know what? Those, we're waiting on those, but it's going to be a while. You're going to have to wait. And you go to their website, you go to all these things, and it's like they're out, completely out. So I know Bare Metal Foil does have something similar where it's a scriber that, you know, you scribe the doors, and great product. But the problem is it's too big. It's too wide. If you're going to start off on your model car and the doors, you want to deepen in those lines. Let's say you don't even want to cut out the doors. You just want to, you know, the lines are a little light and you want to, you know, have a little bit more depth in there. You know, you might want to run your pen or something in there so you have like that black line to give it that look that the door is open, that they can open, you know. So a lot of times this product is advertised and it's the to go to. It's a tool you find at most hobby shops, you know. And I'm not saying it's a bad tool. I have it, I own it, I've used it. It's a great tool. I just feel that it's too big for the door. I know you can also use it to scribe around the windows and different areas in the vehicle, you know. And it will apply. It definitely will apply to certain areas in the vehicle. But I don't feel like every line it will. Because there's going to be different widths, you know, in different sections in the car. You know, that's why those chisels that are the BMC, they make various sizes, you know. But it's kind of tricky. It takes a while to kind of figure out which are the proper sizes for the car, you know, that's going to make it fit and work from there to deepen the lines, you know. And they're pricey too. Those BMC chisels, like that size that I mentioned, the 0.125, that thing retails for about $45 just for that piece. Other ones, you know, they're about like 20, 25, 30. All the other sizes, once you start getting into the bigger sizes, like a 1, 2 millimeter, 3 millimeter, not that many people, those are by far not the most popular. Those are more like in the $20 range. And the reason for these chisels is it's a tool that is used for Gundams, when people are working with Gunpla. So that word, Gunpla, I know I've thrown it around before on the episodes. What that basically means, the way that word is formed is by the gun, that stands for Gundam, and then pla is for plastic. So they grabbed both words, they just put them together to basically define, you know, for their models, pretty much. Because in Gundam, I mean, it's like a series with cartoons and stuff, but at the same time there's this whole other world of builders, artists, designers that work on the robots that are based from these shows. So a lot of people are new to it. They don't watch the shows. I don't, you know, I'm not gonna lie and be like, oh, I've been a fan forever and I watch all the shows. I don't even know the shows. I've seen some, but it's really hard for me to have time to sit through and watch them all. From what I've seen, some scenes they look dope for sure, and I could see why people fall in love with these robots. You know, the characters, the drivers, all this stuff. So the fandom is huge. But there's a lot of people like me that come into the game of that brand new. I don't even know what caught my attention is the model, you know? So that's when this word gets thrown out. Well, not thrown, but it's used, you know, Gunpla, Gunpla. All right, cool. That means the models, you know, when but it's easy, you know, for me to kind of go back and forth. But whenever I see or hear someone use the Gunpla word, I know what they're talking about. But I just kind of wanted to throw that out there. I know probably most of you guys that are listening already know. But for those that don't know, because I didn't know it either, I was just like, what are they talking about? What is that? You know, and I had to investigate to figure out what that was. But that's the thing. In that world, those robots, even though when you buy them, the scales, some of them are small and some are like mid-size. But in your mind, you're supposed to imagine that these things are like as bigger than a skyscraper. You know, you have to look at them differently in your imagination. Like these are the most humongous robots, you know, that are being controlled by a person that is sitting in a cockpit in their chest. And they can fly, they can do various things, you know. And it's amazing how a lot of these artists work on these robots that are made out of plastic. And the detail, the paint, the brushing, all this stuff, the weathering that they add to these, it makes it look like metal. It looks crazy. Like it makes it look heavy. It just makes it look like just crazy. Like, you can't even pick it up. Like it's just like stuck there, you know? And it would be something that in real life, that's how it would be though. It wouldn't be brand new and crisp, clean, you know? It wouldn't be clear coated. This thing would be like it just came back from war, or it flew out to space and with the elements and everything when it came back, you know, this is the way it stands tall. You know, so it's a trip, like the things that they do. So there's lots of tools that are being used in that world for the models that I've always been curious about, and I've tried some, and the more I try them, the more deeper and deeper I get sucked in into those models, into those tools, into that world where it almost feels like never ending, but I know I'm gonna hit a point where I'm gonna like be like, all right, I think this is it. I think I've seen or tried out almost every tool for this genre of model building, you know? And I don't want it to run out. I hope they keep busting out with stuff, you know? But at the same time, getting my hands on this stuff and messing with it, I've learned its purpose and what it's for, and then from there I apply it to my cars, you know, and I notice like, yo, this is actually making this whole process a lot easier, you know. Before it was like a struggle, especially when I had to sand my cars. I would go to Hobby Lobby. You know, I would buy some sandpaper sheets, and it's like a big old paper, you know. And then let's say if I want a little piece, I would just tear it off. It wouldn't even be a clean tear. I would just be ripping it all crazy. Or I would tear off like a big piece, or have like a square that you would buy. And then I start sanding an area, but not paying attention that the back of the sandpaper is scratching another area off. You know, it was just like a total mess. And sometimes I'd be using my finger almost like a block, and it's just like all off every time, not being consistent, you know, burning through some areas and stuff. And finally, I was just getting kind of tired of of that paper that I was like, man, this, like, this isn't doing it. But now, you know, there's products like God Hand, Madworks that make these little foam pieces that have grit attached to them. I know Tamiya has their version of it, but honestly, it's, I wouldn't recommend it. I've tried it so many times. Like lately, I started trying it and I'm like, man, like, I'm not feeling it. You know, I'm noticing that some of the little like rocks and stuff, or not the rocks, the little grits are falling off. And I'm like, dang. And a lot of the times, like my homies ask me, like, dude, why do you keep buying so much like sandpaper and grit and stuff? Like so many products. Why? And it's like, I want to try them all out. I want to see, you know, with my trials, tribulations, like truly, which is one I would recommend that I'm like, yo, like, you know, like this one's dope, or I want you to try it out too. I know for like my Patreon supporters, like lately, like things that I've come across, whether it's sandpaper, anything, materials, you know, I've sent them stuff because I want them to try it out. You know, I've tried out, I'm trying stuff out all the time, but I want them to try it out, especially because they're supporting me. And I'm like, you know what? I want to see what they think about this and stuff. And hopefully they can use it, you know? I mean, when I started off with the God Hand, I was all about the God Hand. I'm like, dude, this is so dope. Like, there's nothing out there better than them. Next thing you know, Madworks. Like, I start seeing that. I'm like, wait, what's up with this? Start trying them out. And I'm like, whoa, this is another thing right here. You know, similar product, but it had, they both, I know like their differences. And now I'm like, you know what? I need to cherry pick the grits that are so dope with God Hand, and then the grits that are so dope also with Madworks. So for God Hand, they make a 120 grit and a 240 grit. Hands down, buy them both. Buy both of those grits. They're so dope. The 240, that's like my to-go-to right there. You know, back in the day, I used to be rocking with like a 400 grit, 320, 600, right? Especially like to get a car all prepped up for like primer and paint. Now, I just go with 240 all the way. And honestly, it doesn't leave like crazy scratches. It's pretty fine for a 240, which I'm surprised. And I'm always thinking like, man, why they do a 240? There's a reason why the 240. I think they might be the only ones doing the 240. I don't see that anywhere out in the model world, people rocking the 240 in a different brand. But that's one I highly recommend. If you're going to go with the Madworks, they do the 320 and a 400. So those two are also dope right there that you can use, even the 600. I don't know what it is, but it has a little bit of a stiffness on that pad that when you're sanding, it just gets everything and it's so dope. There's also these like metal sticks that God Hand makes. And with those, there's a grit that you can use that you can cut to the size and then use like a sticky adhesive in between. So now that metal rod, flat rod that you have a piece of grit on there. So this way, when you're sanding a flat surface, it's more like a block pretty much. So you're getting in there, you know, you're smoothing out areas, you're flattening areas. It's pretty cool. It gets pricey though. Those do get expensive, but as far as the God Hand pads, they're not that expensive. Like, for like $5-6, you can buy a pack, and there's about maybe like 5 sticks, and if you cut those sticks in half, then now you got 10 pads to work with right there. So those are some cool little products. There's also a tool I recently picked up by Mr. Hobby. It's a G tool. It looks very similar to an electric toothbrush, and I know a lot of people been thinking that that's what I've been rocking, but it's not. It's a tool from Mr. Hobby that comes out of Japan. And they also offer these small little grits that are already cut in circle. And there's a 220, 400, 600 and up. I believe up to 1,000. You know, the little packs cost about $2. But there's, man, I think you get about 8 or 12. I'm not sure. But you get a cool little amount. But here's the thing about this tool right here. If your hands get cramped, they get tired from going back and forth, sanding. Or let's just say that there's a little hole you need to fill in with glue or a seam line. And you put the glue and now you have to sand that down. But it's taking you a minute. And you want to cut, if you want to cut time in half, and if you really want to knock this thing out quick, then you need this product right here. They're about $30. The only place in the US that I've seen that sells it is spraygunner.com. Anywhere else, if you find it cheaper, you know, it's going to be from a store on eBay or whatever in Japan. They're going to probably charge you shipping. And if it's free shipping, it's going to take you like 2 months to get. It's going to take you forever to get it. So if $30 seems like a lot, all right, I'd say that the tool is worth 20, but those $10 that you're paying on top of that is like convenience, because you're going to get that thing in like 2-3 days and you're going to get working on it right away on your car. But if you have all the time in the world and you can wait and you have that patience, then go on eBay and find it for $15, you know, and free shipping, whatever. That's cool if that works for you. For me, it's different. For me, like, when I see something, I'm like, I got my eyes and everything just set on it. I want to get it, you know? So that tool right there, if you have a seam line, and let's just say that you put that CA glue in there and now it's a little bit thick and you're like, all right, I need to flatten this little area. Think of this thing as like a little mini DA. It's just going to like, it's rotating in a circle. And you start sanding down that area, you flatten it out, and once you're done, it looks pretty smooth. Then you can get like your sanding stick, your sanding pad, kind of run it through. Really light though, just see where you're at. And then later shoot some primer on it. So now you can really, really see where you're at. And if you need to add more glue, go for it. If not, then just hit it, you know, a little bit more till that thing's like smooth where you can't even tell. Another great thing about this tool is that if you're going to shave off emblems, let's say the Impala deer or the little flags or anything, scriptures on the cars, you know, sometimes you get your sanding stick and you go in there and you start, you know, trying to like dig deep to get it out, or you use your hobby knife. But next thing you know, you're damaging that body. You're going deeper. It's just, you know, it's a no. Don't do that. So this thing right here, some areas are going to be tight to reach and all that, whatever. But since it's really small, you can fit it in there, turn it on, and it's just going to spin. And within seconds, it's going to get rid of that scripture, emblem, little logo. Like, it's gone completely. So you're cool. It saved you some time right there. That's a tool I definitely recommend, you know. And since we're on the topic of sanding, I did want to bring up another tool that is safety. You got to protect your lungs, you know. When I work at my bench, I'm in my room. I'm sitting down. I close my windows. Sometimes I have the fan on if it's hot in here or whatever. But for the most part, it's just I'm isolated in my room, you know. And let's say the Bel Air that I'm working on, it already has primer on it. The primer has cured. It's dry. But I need to do some body work on this car. I need to sand it down, you know. So I know that for the most part, I always just get down on it. I'm like, all right, cool. I get my sandpaper. I start sanding. But what happens is I start to smell the primer now. I start to smell the chemicals, and at the same time, with my light, I could see all the particles in the air. They're starting to float around me. Next thing you know, they're on my black shirt, on my pants. They're just getting all over the place, you know? But in my mind, I'm in denial that I'm breathing this in. I'm in denial that it's getting on my face. All this stuff, right? So I know in previous episodes, I've talked about the RZ mask. And I recently purchased another one, a version 2. The first version I had purchased, I ended up giving that one to my father because he was going to be doing some sanding back at the shop. So I was just like, here, you can have this, you know, go for it. So I bought the version 2 because I was going to get the 1, but then I said, you know what, let me go with the 2. Let me do something different. So I got the version 2. And it's really light. Tried it on. It's like you cover your mouth and then it straps on the back. It does come with the filter and then a couple extras as well in the packaging. And I just went to work. I put it on, you know, and yeah, it's kind of funny, you know, like you're wearing something like that in your room and it's just you by yourself. But it's like, who cares? You know, you're by yourself. It's just you, you know, and it might as well protect yourself if you want to keep doing these things for long term. You know, I know each one of us is different. Each one of us has different resistance to chemicals. You know, the exposure of elements, we're all going to react differently to things. You know, if we smell paint, urethane, we're all going to get a different reaction. Some people, it might not phase them. For others, it could be like, dude, my head's about to explode. Or, you know what? Man, I feel really lightheaded and weak or whatever, right? So, in these instances, I was like, you know what? If I want to do a model and I want it to be dope, then why not be and act professional too, you know? So, got the mask, put it on, started sanding away. I could not smell anything from the, you know, from all those little elements that were floating, all that dust. I couldn't smell any of it. And I was producing a lot of dust. And at the same time, I'm like sanding down glue, you know, from that CA glue that I put down. Hear that right there? Nah. And it's just, this stuff gets everywhere. And at the same time, I said, oh, well, I have that new type apron on. Like, I have it. Let me throw it on. Boom, I put that on. Next thing you know, that thing's full of dust. And when I'm done, I'm like, all right, cool. All I have to do is wash my hands and my face, you know, because I don't have it on my clothes. So I'm good. I don't have to change again. And it's crazy, but when I was done working on my bench, I got up. I went to the restroom. I washed my hands. I took off the mask. Wash my face, and then I was like, all right, I'm gonna go back to my room. So when I came back to the room, because I wanted to clean all that dust off, when I walk in, dude, it smelled like primer. It smelled like plastic. It just smelled like chemicals, pretty much, you know, that were trapped inside the body that dried and cured on it. And I was like, dang, dude, like, I'm breathing this thing every time I'm working on this car, and I had like no idea. But since I was wearing this mask, you know, I wasn't being exposed. And then I took it off and came back and I could smell it. So I was like, oh, man. So really happy with the purchase. They retail about $30, but sometimes you'll find them for like 25, maybe 20. But I'm thinking 25 is probably be the least. So the version 2, I highly recommend. The apron, that was cheap. Even if you have a cooking one, man, if you got a black one, put it on, or any other color, you know, it doesn't matter. But New Type has aprons, and those aprons, they sell them because people that build models in the Gunpla world use them. They actually rock them. They don't care. They're like, it's cool. You know, it makes you feel like a chef. Like you're cooking something cool up, you know? So, there's still more tools that I'm going to get to, but I kind of want to go back to what's on the bench because I'm just going on these like weird little tangents, going whatever's on my mind. So I did mention the 48 Chevy panel Paradise Road truck. And the thing with this, the reason why I'm doing this is because next month, Armando Flores, along with the guys from Masterpieces, are going to be going out to Japan. And unfortunately, I cannot go again for a second time. This is the second time I can't go. And, you know, he's busy. He's doing the buildings. He's doing cars for this show. This presentation is going to be totally new. He's bringing in new stuff. New cars. You know, he's building the Paradise Road building. And all these other shops. Bastard Shop. So many different artists that he's busting out with. And it's coming up. We're like, I would say probably, it's probably like a month away now for him, which is insane that I'm like, what the heck? But, that car does exist out in Japan. And the gentleman that owns that car owns and runs the Paradise Road. He's an artist, car artist. He does so much cool stuff. I met him once when I was in Japan for the first time. And it was just like, you know what? I got the model car. He owns that car. Why not? Since you guys, Hector Lozano's building a replica of his car, you know, and Armando's doing others. I was like, why not? I do this one too. And I have a 48 Chevy panel, the Galaxy kit. I said, why not? Let me do it. It's going to be easy. It's just black paint, you know, and then clear it. But obviously, we need the decals, custom decals. So, I want to thank Cool 51 Designs. He's on Instagram. If you're not following him, look him up at Cool 51 Designs. He's a gentleman that created these decals that are on that car right now. And unfortunately, I did not meet him last year. He was at SEMA. He was displaying in the Iwata booth, the same area where we were displaying our model cars. And I do remember seeing his work there. He's known for creating and customizing, you know, whether modifications, paint. He does it all for Hot Wheels and also scale model cars too. His Instagram, he has so much cool stuff on there. I highly recommend you guys to check him out. But he came through. He came through with the decals. And, you know, it was like one of those things. He came out. He visited California. Armando met up with them. Armando got them. And then later, I met up with Armando. I got them from him. They were in my possession. And finally, that's what led to me adding these decals to this car. And I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit intimidated in the beginning that once I got them, I was like, oh my God, I have them. You know, they're here. And it's one of those things where you want to make sure it comes out right the first time and you don't want to mess up. You know, it almost seems like I only got one try. You can't do it a second try. Let's see what happens. So I got prepped. I got my squeegee out. I got some wooden sticks, some Q-tips, water, my set and sole, those decal solutions. You know, all these things. And at the same time, I was like, you know what? I got to record this. I got to put this on YouTube. Because you guys got to see me do it. You got to see me struggle. You got to see me get it done. You know, I want her to be as true to what it is. You know, I know I could have just done it behind the scenes, get it done, and then be like, oh, look, it's done. But nah, I kind of wanted to show you guys because you never know. What if you guys are putting decals and might have the same either struggle or whatever. It might just be smooth, you know, but at least you kind of get an idea of the way I was doing it. So if it's happening to you while you're doing it, and you remember how I got out of it or how I pulled it off, then you can do it as well. That'll kick in right there. So I don't really put decals on any of my cars, and I haven't done that in so long. It's been a long, long time, you know? And yes, people say, oh, that's like the easiest thing, you know, but, and it, yeah, for sure. But like when it's something you haven't done in so long, it can be like, oh man, like I don't want to jack up. Let's see what's up. So if you guys want to see it, it's on YouTube, the Scale Riders channel. It's up there. I'm happy with it. You know, it took maybe like 20 minutes to get it done. So it's a two-part video. Like, I think the first part's like 10 minutes and the other part's about the same. But it's a two-part video that I needed to get done, you know, to put out there. And at the same time, there was like this, you know, like I'm talking about tools earlier, a squeegee tool that is used in the Gunpla world that I got to use with the scale model cars. And it's made by HIQ Parts. I talk about it on the video. If you guys want to get that, New Type has that, newtype.com. They do have that product. So I highly recommend that product. So I had to put that decal on because I knew that this week I needed a clear coat. I needed to clear coat this car. I needed to get it done, you know? But before I clear it, I got to get this decal thing done first. So I was a little intimidated, nailed it. I got excited. I got it done. I let it just dry and chill. And then the next day I was like, you know what? I need to get ready soon to clear coat. I got to handle this. I need to take care of this. So that's one of the, well, not one of them, but it's one of the many reasons why I decided not to have a guest on this week, just because I didn't want to put that stress on me. As far as like coordinating, looking for a guest, coordinating with the guests to sync everything. So this way we're in the same time, you know, we both have energy, everything's cool, and we go from there. You know, and I needed to not have that in my head. You know, I needed to have my mind cleared and be ready to lay some clear. But once I got to the pad, I had everything set. And when I was checking out the paint booth, the room where I paint, you know, I hadn't been there in so long. So I had to clean that place up. I needed to wet the floors, clean them and everything, like sweep, get all that dust out, get all the cobwebs out, spiders, insects, get all the rats, everything. I needed to get everything out of there, clean it up, clean the counters, just get this thing like prepped up, you know. And it felt really good being in there, just like being surrounded by paint, by tools, your gear, your compressors, your spray guns, airbrushes, all that stuff. It just feels so good to be surrounded by all that. So I did record a two-part video, and it's also on YouTube already, where I'm showing instruction of how to mix Hustle Color Clear, the Show Clear, based on the tech sheets on what you read. So I'm doing it there if you want to get a visual and get an idea. I am using an LPH-80 touch-up gun with the 3MPP S cup system version 1. And I mean, the reason why I wanted to go with the LPH is because I wanted to speed up the process. I wanted to get this thing done. You know, I didn't want to be there for hours. I was pressed on time as well. So, I made sure that I got my settings down to where I felt comfortable, and I just started spraying, laid about a few coats on there, and I was really happy with it. You know, the car dried the next day, like quick, like super quick. I was like, what the heck? And I waited a day and a half probably 2 days, let's say, to start buffing it. you know, doing the whole cut and buff process, setting it down and all that. I managed to already do that. I believe I'm going to shoot another coat of clear later just to get it even more, like wet. It's like glass look, hopefully, that I'm trying to achieve. And then from there, put all the chrome trimmings on it and hand it over to Armando. That way he can take that with him to Japan. So that's a car there that I need to get done, you know? And I don't know, just during this whole process of working with the cars, you know, you start to balance out satisfaction, stress, and you know, all these things, these different emotions, feelings, like happiness, everything starts to like come into play. And you start to think, I mean, I was thinking like this is, it was hitting me. Like, this is the reason why I like doing this. You know, I like painting. I like clear coating. I like customizing now. You know, there's all these like new different things that I like to do. And I know that down the road, there's going to be more to further on that I don't know right now at this very moment. But later, I know I'm going to dive into it and just be all about it, you know, because there is a lot in there to learn. But at the same time, it was one of those things that I was kind of like, you know, going back to when I had a conversation with Art Lasky, and, you know, he was kind of tripping out that I was doing all this stuff with the podcast and everything. And he was just like, man, I hope this doesn't like rob you of your time, you know, of model building. And, you know, I was like, nah, like I got it, you know, I think I got it down to like a science or to a way where I could balance it out, you know. But it made me think, and it's made me think for the longest. I'm always like, man, like at times he's like, he comes through in my head and I'm going like, man, he's right. Like, it is. And then sometimes it isn't, you know? So it's like a balancing act. And, I'm always like thinking like, man, there's times where I just want to go in deep into the cars, but I can't, you know? 'Cause like most of you guys, you know, we'll work in the day, and like we have these commutes where we take an hour to get home. Sometimes for some of you guys, 2 hours. Back then, my commutes were 10 minutes to get home. Now it's an hour pretty much. So by the time I get home, I'm pretty tired. And then, you know, even from previous episodes, speaking with Ivan, he even brought it up when we were talking. And I was telling him my situation as far as like when I'm working on stuff, how, you know, I'm just like tired and I'm pressed with time. And he was kind of like, just straight up like, dude, well, that's probably not a good time to be doing it because you're not even into it. You're just like kind of just doing it just to do it, but you're really not into it. You know, that's not what you want to do. You just want to rest and stuff. And it's true. I was like, dang, you got me, Ivan. You got me. But it's so true. And I like that's the reason why I like speaking with people, because people have different perspectives, different thoughts, different opinions and stuff. And, you know, a lot of it, it's facts. A lot of it does make sense that I go, dang, I don't even, you know, like you hit it on the nail with that. And, you know, it feels good. Like for most of you guys, you know, that have the time, like you go to work, you get off, you know, let's just say you're single or whatever, like you don't have a lady or nothing, no kids, nothing, like that's dope. You could handle, do your thing. And then I know some of you guys have families, you know, that's different. You know, you have to attend to your family first. Your hobbies come later, you know. And even then, sometimes you might want to work on your hobby, but you can't because you're tired, you know. So then it makes it harder to take on more things, to do more stuff, that it gets to a point where you're going to have to drop something, you know? And I mean, for myself, I'm into a lot of stuff. You know, I'm into model building, I'm into painting, you know, and at the same time, I'm into music, record collecting, recording, producing music, DJing. Like, I'm into a lot of things, and I still feel like I'm not done with none of that stuff. I still dabble into different things, but I'm kind of like all over the place, like spread out, and I kind of want to tighten things up, you know. And it doesn't mean that I have to give something up, you know. I'm not trying to say like that's it, guys, it's the end. I'm not trying to say that. What I'm trying to say is more like I need to tighten up what I'm doing. I need to tighten up the operation. I need to manage everything cool so this way things get done, because it gets to a point where you start to feel like, dang, like I'm never gonna finish a model car. Like, I'm not. Why? Because you start working on one and you get to the primer stage, but then it's like you get to those late nights and then you get tired. That motivation's not there, you're burned out, and you're just sitting there staring at the car, but then you have all these other obligations that you gotta do, and then it's just like that's it, you know? And I was looking through my cars and I was going like, dang, like I have like 8 cars right now that are all prepped with some body work. I'm not saying that they're ready for paint this very moment, but they're close to it. You know, they still need a little bit of more minimal work, but they're very close to it. And I have to be on them. I got to get them done, or else they're never going to get done. And they're just going to be in a box forever until, you know, sell it or it gets messed up or tossed in the trash. I don't know, you know. And I want all these cars to see the light. I want them to be out. I want them to get seen. I want them to inspire some people, you know. I just want them to be out there, outside of their box, you know, instead of them just waiting patiently to see who's gonna crack that box open and getting ready, you know. So, you know, this week, just working on all my stuff, it was very productive. I got a lot of things done. That excitement kicked in again, you know, everything that I was like, dude, like this is so fun. I'm really about it. Like, I mean, I've always been, but it was just like it brought me back. Like, man, like, and I mean, just with all the people that I've met, the opportunities that have come around, you know, all these interactions with people, like I love it. I love every single minute of it, you know, and I know that people hit me up, they'll send me messages and stuff, stickers with some notes, you know, liking what I'm doing with the podcast, content with YouTube, the Patreon supporters, like, you know, there's all this support, which I'm very grateful for. And you know, I'm just like tripping out, like, man, like, thank you for you guys for even listening to this, you know. It's been going on for a long time, more than a year, every week, you know, hearing conversations that I'm having with people, with my guests, you know, like-minded people like you that build, that are into various things as well. I know everybody has a story, and I want to capture everybody's story, you know, and just further on, keep going from there. Because at the end, this is all what we leave behind, you know, memories. That's all we leave behind. Every single one of these model car builds, we're working on these cars because we love it. We bust it out. Whatever year it comes out, you know, it makes an impression on a person, and that impression is engraved in their head, which further on into the future becomes a memory. And when, you know, when someone looks at a video or a picture, it brings them back and it opens up that memory again. And then they remember, dude, I remember when that came out, you know? And it takes more in effect as the years go on into the future. You know, once things start to become obsolete, once things go away, things close down, cars get lost, they get broken, whatever, you know, these memories like kick in. And sometimes people walk away from stuff too, but that memory never does. Like, it's there, you know. And I hope that with these podcasts, they help to motivate you guys to just keep going, you know, keep building. And if you're not building, at least be supportive of your other model building friends, you know? And I mean, I know you guys already do this, you know? I'm preaching to the choir. I know you guys got this. You guys have been doing a lot of stuff. And I mean, my goal for the podcast is I want to hit episode 100. That's my goal, you know, and I'm going to work hard at it. You know, I'm going to aim for it. I'm going to reach my goal. And I already know, like, I'm already starting to think, like, you know, what I want to do when I hit episode 100, like, what's going to change, you know, what's going to be the direction for the podcast, because things have to change, you know, because or else if everything stays the same, it gets boring. It starts to get more, how can I say this? Like it almost gives you that sense like, oh, well, it'll always be there. So, whatever, you know? But it's almost like, I've always wanted to make it like a fun thing, you know, for the listeners. So this way, like a very inviting thing. So this way, the way I envision it is like most of you guys who listen to this, you're either working on a model car when you're listening to this, or you're on a drive, you're driving and you're by yourself, you know, and you're going somewhere far. And, you know, we love music, we listen to music, but then it gets to a point where we want to listen to talk. And we have so many choices of talk, podcasts, radio, anything that we could jump into. AM radio, you know, but it's kind of cool when you find something that you're like super passionate about, you know. And you know, in the beginning I did see the void. There was no podcast for it, I was just kind of like, you know what, I have to do this, you know, I have to move forward. My thoughts on when I get to that point of episode 100, moving forward, my thoughts of what I would want to happen, but, you know, I'm not sure, but we'll see. I mean, we'll see what's up. But what I really would want to do is tone it down from not every week to more go like a bi-weekly, where it's like two episodes, you know, an episode every 2 weeks, pretty much, you know. That's one of my things. And the reason why is because that's going to be the only way that I'll be able to get done, like get the cars done and my projects done, you know, because it's tough when you got a job, you got the commute, things you got to do in life. And then, you know, you want to, do this hobby, and yes, it's supposed to be a stress-free thing, but when you have so much on your plate and then you're working on something, it's not stress-free. It creates stress because you want things to happen because you don't have the time. And sometimes when they're not happening, you're just like, you start getting kind of mad at what you're doing, you know, and it's not the car's fault, you know. So that's not what I want. I don't want to be stressed, like, working on this stuff. I want to be, like, pumped. I want to be happy. And this week, you know, doing all this stuff, you know, started to see and get the clearer picture. So I'm thinking, like, busting out an episode every 2 weeks would be kind of cool, because then it'll give a break to listeners, to especially those that are new, to catch up. Because I know some of you guys have told me, like, yo, I started from the beginning and right now I'm at episode 20. And I'm thinking, like, dang, they still have so many more to catch up. That's a lot of hours. You know, when I start to think about it, it kind of freaks me out. I'm like, man, so many hours. But I think it's kind of cool that they are binging on it, going through the episodes. But at the same time, it helps to catch up as well. And then it'll give me some free time. But at the same time, though, too, I would want to spend more time to work on the production as well. You know, I want it to get better, obviously. And I have to make these changes to tying things up, you know, to get it better. At the same time, my thoughts, hopefully in the future, what I would like is to also open up doors for more people, like more content, more channels, bonus episodes and things, you know. And we'll see. It's something that's in the works, you know. Having, you know, guests on and stuff. Like, without me, though, you know, like having like someone doing a thing and stuff and whatnot as well. And then later I'll come up on another episode and stuff. So I don't know. Hopefully a lot of these changes will happen in the future after episode 100. So right now, I mean, I'm going to keep it going. You know, next week we got a new guest coming up, which I'm very excited about. And I'm not going to say who, but later you'll know. You'll know once it's everything's recorded and locked. And I'm just going to keep going, you know, with the weekly episodes right now. Enjoy them. You know, I'm not going anywhere. It's just all it is I'm just letting you guys know that I'm going to have to tone it down a bit right after 100. Instead of weekly to every 2 weeks, you know. And hopefully, you know, I get more stuff done, so there's more videos. If you guys are enjoying the podcast, I definitely recommend you guys to check out the YouTube channel. Because in the YouTube channel, I have so much content on there with videos. I don't even know how the heck I find time, but somehow I managed to record some stuff and I put it up on there, and I hope it helps you guys. If you guys want me to do a video on something particular with the model cars, email me 65lokes@gmail.com, or just hit me up on Instagram at 65lokes and just let me know. You know, I'll put something together right there. I wanted to let you guys know that next year, myself and Armando, we got invited to be instructors we're going to be out in Texas. We're going to be, instructors, part of the Design Ranch 2020. And this is a workshop that we will be participating in, showing students, you know, working with the model cars, prepping, painting. So pretty excited about that. This will be my first time taking on something like this as you know, instructing. And this is going to be a fun experience, you know, especially having Armando Flores on my side as well as another instructor. I know it's going to be a fun experience. And, you know, we'll post more info on that. If you guys are listening and want to go to something like this, this is going to be out in Texas, and more info on that will be coming soon. And I know they're going to be going live pretty soon with like people signing up and stuff. So we'll see. But I'm very excited and very grateful for this opportunity, you know, that's coming up, and that'll be for next year. You know, and it's one of those things where you have to go with the flow. You got to experience stuff and just, you know, stay true to yourself, stay positive, and, you know, and always work with people and just be cool to people, you know, like be chill, and things like this will come your way, opportunities, you know, and yeah, I mean, next year, 2020. And before we go, what am I leaving out? I know I'm leaving something out. Oh yeah, I was gonna tell you guys, I did get a new airbrush, and this is an Iwata airbrush, the TH. It has like a pistol grip handle, a fan tip, and a 0.5 millimeter. This airbrush, I used it recently, and I used the fan pattern because I needed to shoot the 48 Chevy panel in all black. And man, that thing covered it up, you know. It laid out really smooth, thin coats. It was just nice. I was like, man, this is dope. And it cut like half the time, you know, to cover it up. Because before, I used to just use my HPCS airbrush, but it didn't have a fan tip. So that would take a lot longer to cover up the car, you know. And it would be easy sometimes to go off the line as I'm doing the passes back and forth. But this one here with the fan tip, it just, it made it go down, and it was pretty cool. Like, so that was something that was pretty rad. Also, last weekend, I want to thank and shout out Down a Scale for inviting me over to their 10th year anniversary party, which was in Whittier, California. That was a lot of fun. It was awesome. I got to hang out with all the guys that made it to the event. There was other friends that were in attendance as well. It was just like a really, really cool vibe. You know, they had a taco guy. We all ate mad tacos. There was pastries. It was just cool. And then they had their displays of their model cars. I recorded a lot of the festivities, and I posted those on the YouTube channel as well. And that's what was fun, because, I mean, if you weren't there, or even for those that were there, if they see these videos, they're going to be like, oh man, I remember that, you know? So it was cool. And I'm very grateful that I was able, you know, that I got invited and that I was able to be there hanging out with all the guys. So thank you and congratulations on 10 years. That was a lot of fun. And I hope to see you guys again soon in the future. And everyone else at the shows. So this is 65 Lokes here checking out. This was episode 95. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope this episode doesn't get flagged though for that beginning part that I was singing. Tears for Fears. All right, guys. So peace out. Have a good week. Stay tuned for more episodes. Check us out on YouTube. Look up Scale Riders on Instagram, Scale Riders, Pinterest, Twitter, all that good stuff, Patreon, everything. All right, guys. Peace.